Okay. January is a time for starting to do things differently, right? Just because it feels like we have a clean slate. It's a new year, and it comes with it that limitless potential. Now, we're in New Thought, and we know any day is a great day to start anew. Any moment is a great moment to start anew. There is no reason for it to be January other than there is a big human race conscious belief that January is a great place to start. So what we do is we just kind of go with the energy of it. Okay, you know, but in New Thought we know, New Thought. At any moment of any day, we can have a new thought and absolutely change the outpicturing of our lives. But we're, you know, we go along. So January is kind of the idea to think of our lives anew, to really recognize that clean slate and that we can change our thinking and change our life. So this January's theme is awaken your spirit. And we started the month with wake up, which is perfect. Wake up. And the second week was smell the coffee. And last week we followed it up with it's a brand new day. And today we're going to talk about limitless potential. So wake up, smell the coffee, it's a brand new day filled with limitless potential. That's what we're talking about. And we are that. We are that because we're awakening to the magnificence that we are. That's what we're here to do. Awaken to the magnificence that is us. So let me tell you something. Let's start from the beginning, the way, way, way back beginning. There were anywhere from 200 million to 500 million sperm released in the race to fertilize the egg that became you. Now, the fastest, most capable sperm was the one that made it to the egg and deposited its DNA along with the egg's DNA to create you. So you are the product of the best sperm in the bunch. I mean, think about it. You have already succeeded where millions and millions of organisms failed. You came in first place in a race with a half a billion other organisms. I'm saying, you know, you are the best of the best. I was going to say cream of the crop, but I'm not going to say that. Talk about limitless potential. Talk about limitless potential. You are the best of the best. You are the best of the best. You beat out almost a half a billion others to become you. You are one of a kind. You are one of a kind. There's only one of you. There never has been before. There never will be again. And spirit has need of you, or else you would have never appeared on this planet. Ernest Holmes said this, "It is right and necessary that we should be individuals. The divine spirit never made two things alike. No two rose bushes, no two snowflakes, no two grains of sand, no two persons. We are all unique, for each wears a different face. But behind the one stands the unification of all, right? The one presence, God. Unity," he goes on to say, "unity does not mean uniformity. Unity means that everything draws its strength, its power, and its ability from the one source. One life does flow through everything, but it is never monotonous. It is forever doing new things in and through and as each of us. We are as unique and individual as snowflakes. There are no two alike. We are here to express that uniqueness, to do it in a way that only we can." In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12:4, it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them." That's wonderful. We're different leaves on the tree, but our roots come from the same source. That's the truth of us. That is the truth of us. No two are alike, yet we all spring from the same source. We get our power from the same source. We are all made of the same stuff. We all contain the same qualities. the same qualities of spirit that flow through us. Diversity emerges from unity. Spirit simply creates all different ways, all different forms. And you know, we know this is true even from the physical standpoint as well as from the spiritual standpoint, right? Everything is made of the same stuff. Ask any physicist. Everything is made of energy. Everything is energy. Whether it is in form or out of form, it is energy. We're all made of the same stuff. All the energy that will ever be or has ever been exists right now. Always will be, always has been. Energy is all there is. God is all there is. We just use different terms. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. It simply keeps changing form. That's what we know is true about spirit. A carbon atom is a carbon atom is a carbon atom, whether it's in a diamond or whether it's on a planet or whether it's in your skin. A carbon atom is a carbon atom. So everything we could ever want or desire already exists in some energy form. It may not be in the form that you desire it right now, but it all exists right now. It is all around us, and we need not wait for the right time in order to manifest our good. We don't have to wait till the right time, the right age, or when we buy that house, or when we find that person, or when we get the correct job. We already are surrounded by a power and presence that responds to us. Arthur Ashe said, "Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can." It's that simple. We just start now. We just start today. That new thought doesn't have to start on January 1st. The new start can count today. It starts January 24th, or it starts February 1st, or whenever. Whenever we have the new thought, that is our clean slate. That is our new day. That is our limitless potential. We're standing in it. It is surrounding us. We live and move through it. We are immersed in limitless potential every moment of the day. We just need to direct it. We need to direct it, call upon it, and allow it to flow through us and change the conditions in our world. Martin Luther King said this. He said, "Take the first step. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step." Things are revealed to us bit by bit, piece by piece. What does Jacob Glass say? Like penguin steps, right? Small penguin steps at a time. And things unfold, and then they continue to unfold. Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind said, "The law through which man operates is infinite." Can we all agree on that, right? The law through which man operates is infinite. But man apparently appears to be finite. Yet he's not evolved to a complete understanding of himself. He is unfolding from limitless potential, but can bring into his experience only that which he can conceive. There is no limit to the law, but there appears to be a limit to our understanding of it. As our understanding unfolds, our possibilities of attainment increase. So that makes sense, right? The more we can embrace, embody, and understand the limitless nature of spirit, the more we can demonstrate it through our lives. We believe we can only have a little bit, that's all we can manifest. If we believe that we can have more or be more or do more, then that is what manifests. The law is not limited, spirit is not limited, our understanding of it is limited. So it is up to us to awaken to that, to broaden our beliefs about the nature of spirit. We recognize God is all there is, right? When we do our 5-step prayer treatment, okay, who's in foundations class? Yay. 5-step prayer treatment, remember? Step one, we recognize that God is all there is. And we recognize it all around us, the land, the sea, the sky, the birds, the creepy little insects that crawl around. We recognize all of it. All of it is the life of God. And then step two, unification. We unify with that. We claim to know that we are part and parcel of that whole life of God also. We are some aspect of the whole life of God's. And everything that God is, all of those qualities, are qualities that are found within us because we're all made of the same stuff. Think about it. There was nothing else to make anything else out of.
go back to, right? It's all energy. It's all energy. That's all we are, is energy. Really, all we are is potential. So we're all made out of the same stuff. So whatever attributes we hold true of God, joy and abundance and power and beauty and peace, they are qualities of us because we're all made out of the same stuff. So then we unify with that. We recognize it's the truth of it. And that's the unification step. And then we go on to the third step, realization. Realization, the third step of affirmative prayer. We say it until we know it. We say it until we know it. Not sort of believe, it's possible, maybe, hope, it's true. We speak it until we know it. We know absolutely beyond doubt this is the truth of us. Ernest Holmes says, this is what we mean by realization. This is what we mean by realization. Words carry the mind forward to a place in thought where realization occurs. At this point, the most effective work is done. It is an inward feeling, a silent sense of divine reality. When we get to that third step and we pray and we pray and we pray until we know it, it's not hopey, wishy, changey, crappy stuff. It is, I wonder what happens. It's knowing. It is knowing. It's convincing ourselves, even if we have to argue in our own mind, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, I believe it, I don't believe it. We get to the point where we surrender the doubt and we know that we know. And that's realization. We know that we know. Not hoping, not wishing, it's not daydreaming. It is a powerful step in affirmative prayer that places the word into law, backed by the power and emotion. Yeah, right? Backed by the power and emotion. And it goes into the word without question, out picturing the condition. That's what we do. Ernest Holmes said the most powerful place we can find ourselves is in prayer. Why? Because of that realization step. Because when we know that we know, we are speaking from cause. Our word is law. And then law goes to work unquestioning, infallible, impersonal, and does the work of changing conditions around us. That's when the shift occurs. So when we are convinced, when we have completed the realization step in our five-step prayer treatment, when we have completed that realization step, there's not a doubt in our minds. We have spoken our word from first cause, and the law moves without question. That's when the demonstration happens. And even if it hasn't manifested in physical form, at that exact moment, it may take a little time. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's on its way because it's already done in mind. It's already done in energy. It's already done in non-form because we've claimed it. So we know it's sure arrival, it's certain arrival in the physical, in the manifest, in matter. Energy transforms into matter. So we know it's coming. We know it's on its way. After we embody and believe the truth of that affirmative prayer, the manifestation occurs. We are the container. Remember, we talked about that. We talk about that every week. We are the container. Spirit does the work through us. It's the only way that spirit operates in the world, is through its creations. So we surrender to a power and a presence greater than we are, greater than we are, and we get out of the way. Oh, yeah, there's the complicated part. We get out of the way so we allow things to happen and flow through us. And the way we do that is staying out of the how. Staying out of the how. The how is a human mind puzzle that we occupy ourselves with when we should be going to prayer. Oh, how is this going to happen? How am I going to do this? How am I going to accomplish this? How is this going to work? How is this going to happen? On and on and on. We allow spirit to do the work when we get out of the how
And we can stand in that childlike sense of wonder and go, wow, I wonder what Spirit's going to do with this. Wow, I wonder how Spirit is gonna untangle this. I wonder how Spirit's going to manifest this. I'll be as surprised as anybody else. But we've already done the work. We've already done the prayer. We've already realized the answer was already in the prayer being prayed. So we know the answer is on its way. We don't know how. I don't know how. But it happens. I'll be interested to know. You know, this does not by any means mean I go to prayer, I do the work in prayer, and then I just don't do anything. You know, and then I just stop there. Sometimes we are guided and directed to do something in the physical level, too. Sometimes it's not just about, oh, well, after we pray, we're out of it. You know, we do, all right, now it's Spirit's job. I'll just go back to watching TV, you know? There may be something for us to do after the prayer, after the clarity, after the declaration of knowing, I know this is done in the mind of God. It's already demonstrated. I'm here at the physical level awaiting that arrival. I don't know how it's coming to, but I'm continuing to move my feet. I'm continuing to move forward. We go to prayer because it's the great antidote to what the hell am I going to do? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to prayer. I go to prayer first. I go to prayer first so I don't get hung up in the what am I going to do. But after the prayer and after the meditation and after the reflection, we may need to move our feet. That's what Ernest Holmes said, right? Treat and move your feet. It's an old saying. There may be something for us to do after prayer. You know, we're not here just to give other people stuff to do. It doesn't work that way, you know. A good idea is just a good idea if nobody moves on it. And that's all it'll ever be, is a good idea, unless you do something with it. An inspiration is just an inspiration. It's just that. And it remains just an inspiration unless somebody does something with it. Somebody, not me, needs to do something about, you know, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't work that way. Once we get that clarity, once we go to prayer, once we get that grand inspiration, that divine ideal that then flows into our consciousness, there may be something for us to do about it. Absolutely, the move your feet part. I remember we had a delightful, wonderful professional practitioner here at Vision, Edith Nitis, Mike's dear wife, and she passed a couple of years ago. But she used to say, if it comes to you, it's yours to do. If it came to you, it's yours to do. Which is wonderful, which is why when people come to me and say, oh, you know what Vision needs to do? Vision needs to do blah, blah, blah. I say, yes, great. How are you going to do that? You know, wonderful idea. Where are we going to start? Where are we going to start? If you have the idea, it's for you to do. If you're coming with this great idea, what part are you going to play in that? It's for you to do. Because, again, goes back to because we're all individuals, because we're all here for a reason. Because we are individualized expressions of God, nobody can do it the way you can. Nobody can. We are here to manifest our limitless potential. So when we get that idea, it is for us to do. Because we can only do it our way. And if we refuse to do it, it's okay. I mean, it'll flow through human race consciousness. Somebody else will grab a hold of it. Somebody else will do it. But it won't be done your way. It'll be done their way. It'll be uniquely and individually done somebody else's way. So to manifest our limitless potential, it requires both the doing and the being. It requires that we balance our lives between the dreaming and the doing, between the being and the doing. There is something for us to know, always, and there is something for us to do. And just knowing without doing is life unexpressed. It's just theory. Just knowing without doing is just theory. Going around doing without knowing is a mess. Did you ever do that? That's the whole rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic thing, you know? Running around doing. I think it was who was it? St. Teresa of Avila that said more damage is done by people rushing out to do good work than anything else. You know, we can't do without being first. We can't be and then not do. It's got to be a balance between the two. We're going to live from that sense of limitless potential. It's all there for us to pick and choose from. We do have to have clarity and focus, and then we have to move our feet. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, since the inner self is in continuous connection with the outer self, it can cause a flow of intelligence, stimulating the mind to purposefulness, to create genius, to express our abilities. There is something in the most practical person that longs for this still, silent presence. When we spend our entire time on objective things, never getting back to the inner self, we are piling brick upon brick and sooner or later see them fall about us in ruin. He goes on to say, the toiler dies in a day, unless the dreamer refreshes and reinvigorates him with the divine inflow which comes from within. He quoted Angela Morgan, "The Hour Has Struck," when she said, "The living one who never tires is fed by the deep eternal fires." I think that's just lovely. So it's a balance we strike. For us to live our limitless potential, we have to live in that balance of dreaming and doing, of being and doing. Yes, we have infinite potential. Yes, we are infinite potential. It is the very nature of our lives because we are spirit. We're really spirit, 100% spirit. We're just housed in a temporary body. But we are 100% spirit, so there is limitless potential. Remember last week we talked about principles not bound by precedent? Because we have this limitless potential, because we are this limitless potential, it doesn't matter what came before. It doesn't matter what you've outpictured your whole life. You can change what you're outpicturing from now on. You change that idea of what's possible. You grab hold of that greater mental equivalent of what's possible in spirit. And then you start living from that possibility, then you begin to outpicture a greater condition. Because there is only one of you. Because we are unique. Because we can only do things our way. We are here for a purpose and to be a presence in life. We are here to change our lives. We are here to live a fully self-actualized life of spirit. And to give permission to everyone around us to do the same. We're here to show up, to say yes. We are here to do things individually like no other person can. And that's what we do. That is what we do. Mozart, interesting. Did you know Mozart used to write music while watching billiard balls bounce around the billiards table to distract his conscious mind? He'd give his conscious mind something to do by watching billiards bounce around, and that's when he would write music. Thomas Edison had an interesting thing. When he wanted to be creative, he would sit in his rocking chair and he'd have a pie pan on the floor and a spoon in his hand. And he would sit in his rocking chair until he dozed off. And when he got really relaxed, the spoon would slip from his hand and hit the pan, and that's when he woke up. He had enough nap and he had an inspiration. I don't know that I could do that. I don't know. What is that, like a half a second nap? I don't know. That's real power napping. I don't know that I could do that, but he said that's where he got his inspiration from. Everybody does it their own way. Everybody does it their own way. You have to find the way to open yourself up to that limitless potential that is within you. Moshe Feldenkrais says, what keeps most people from fulfilling their potential is simply their own resistance. He called it the contradictory motivation. Contradictory motivation. So think about what yours is. Whenever you get those moments of clarity and those moments of insight and those moments of inspiration where you can do that next greatest thing, the thing that scares you, you know, what is that contradictory motivation? Oh, I got to go to the store. Oh, I've got too much work to do. Oh, I've got reading. Oh, there's something on TV I have to watch. Oh, Facebook is calling me. There's some contradictory motivation to keep yourself small. Find out what that is. That can become so habitual you don't even realize it. I'm too busy. Oh, I have to go food shopping. Whatever it is.
delve into that, lean into it, find out what that contradictory motivation is. Because that's what squashes those limitless possibilities from becoming manifest. You are here to express your unique, individualized gifts. You're here to bring something into the world, to make manifest something, many things that nobody else can do your way. And the only thing that holds us back is our own limited thought that we can't do it. So we delve into those contradictory motivations. We lean into the stuff that holds us back. We call it out for what it is. It's a form of fear. And we stop letting it hold us back. We balance the doing and the being. We balance the dreaming and the doing. We go within for clarity and focus, right? We talked about that. The prayer, the affirmations. And we gain clarity and focus, but then we do something in the outside world. We create something in the physical world. That is what we're here to do. Ernest Holmes in Know Yourself said this: if we need divine guidance, we should consciously accept it, saying, "Perfect Spirit within now directs me to do what to do and how to do it." How's that sound? Okay, I think we should say that together. Perfect Spirit within, directs me as what to do,
and how to do it.
But this act of faith has to be followed by action. We must not leave it up in the air. Here is the difference between the dreamer and the practical person. The dreamer is always floating around in the clouds. The practical person keeps his thought in the clouds and his feet on the earth. Thought in the clouds, feet on the earth. In this way, he brings heaven to earth through himself. That is what we're here to do. Bring heaven to earth through us. We allow spirit to work through us into the world. He goes on to say, this is necessary. Let us keep the dream side open as it is the beautiful side of our nature. It is the meditative, the contemplative side, the subtle side forever merged with the universe and is at one with good. So we keep that open. This is Ernest Holmes, opened at the top. We keep this open. We keep that limitless possibility flowing into us and through us. Just because we never did it before doesn't mean we can't do it. We find that connection that we have always to source, and we allow it to flow through us. We are limitless potential. We are limited by our own belief, by our own thought. Because if you think about it, when you get that divine idea, what do you say? You're like, oh my God, that is so big. It scares the crap out of me. Yeah, it does. And do it anyway. But you're about to do it, and then what happens? Oh, I can't. Because why? Because everything that comes after the word because is a condition. Think about it. It's a condition in the world. I can't do it because I don't have that degree. That's a condition, and conditions change. I can't do it because I'm too old. I can't do it because I'm too young. I can't do it because I'm too short. I love that one. Someone once told me that in my first year of ministry. I was too short to be a minister. I love that. Anyway, the voice of the world will tell us things like that. Who are you to whatever, fill in the blanks? Everything that comes after the because is a condition. And we know conditions change. And when we speak from cause, conditions change. And so when we remain in cause, the condition doesn't matter. Hang around 5 or 10 minutes. The conditions change anyway. They change all the time, don't they? Anything in the physical world changes. We are not bound by anything other than the belief we are bound. Other than the belief we can't because, whatever that because is. And here's the thing, if conditions don't look the way we want them to look, it's time to go to prayer. It's time to go to prayer and to go to visioning and to go to affirmations. It's time to gain clarity what it is you want. We have to go to first cause and speak from cause. That's what changes conditions. I am the cause of my effects. Remember we said that week, I don't know, one or two. Say that. I am the cause of my effects. This is the truth.
I am the cause of my effects. If conditions don't look the way they ought to in your mind, then we go back to cause. We go back to prayer. We go back and clarify the condition that we desire. When things don't look the way we think they ought to look, that is the time to deepen in our work. That is the time to pray more, to meditate more, to affirm more, to get deeper and deeper into our work. It's not the time to abandon the work. It's the time to go deeper. Because we know the truth is there, and in spite of conditions, right? Know the truth and do the work in spite of conditions. Here's what I know. Calm seas don't make good sailors. Good sailors are made in trial. And it's the same way with us. Our spiritual practice is not going to be perfected if things are just kind of rolling along. We don't do the work unless there is work to do. So we have to look beyond the conditions, and we have to continue to hold the truth, whatever that is for us at that time. Whatever it is for you at the time, because you are here for a unique purpose. You're here to do the things that only you can do, only your way. And we have to. We prove these principles by being challenged. We prove these principles sometimes by being challenged in times when things don't seem like they're going the way we think they ought to, or they're not going the way we're praying they ought to go, or when things don't look like they should. That's when we deepen in our practice. That's when we know the truth in spite of conditions. Those challenging times fire us up to embrace our limitless potential or abandon all hope. Which would you rather? I'd rather see us go in deeper into our practice. Limitless potential is our nature. That is who and what we are. And all of the conditions in the world, all of the conditions in the world does not make that not true. Does that make sense? All of the conditions to the contrary does not change the truth. The truth is the truth. We are limitless potential. Every moment of every day, not just January 1st. We are limitless potential. We must claim our birthright. We must be the bigger, expansive person. We must stand in the truth, contrary, you know, ideas be damned. We must stand in the truth, regardless of what the conditions look like, and know the truth of ourselves, know the truth of others, know the truth of the world. That is what we're here to do. And we are here right now to do the work that we can do ourselves, uniquely as only we can do it. So go out, live that limitless potential. Don't let the contradictory motivation hold you back anymore. Press through it. Know it for what it is, simply a condition. And then dissolve it by speaking your word as first cause, as the limitless being you are, and change your world. Thank you so much.